Hey everybody, this is Dak Mack from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. It's Thursday, October 22nd, 2015, and I am joined here with Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn.
Hey everyone, how you doing today?
And we've got a little bit of catching up to do, as we haven't done a podcast in a couple weeks now, so a lot to discuss, a lot to go over.
Yeah, we had a lot of responses on Facebook from Doc. Just did a, hey, does anyone have anything you want to talk about or any questions, and we had a bunch of responses there, so I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Do you want to start on with those, or what do you want to start with? Scores?
I guess, yeah, let's start with scores.
All right, cool. We're going to go back to as far as the scoreboard lets us, which is when Steve Lucas was in town.
Yes.
And he put up several impressive scores all in the span of a few days.
Yeah, that was awesome to see how him get into scoring. He's been here before, but the first time he's really put in some major scores.
For sure, yeah. So he had, I want to say, three world records. He had Blood Brothers, which was...
Lumbo had that,
and then Rocco had that. I'm not sure who had it more recently, but they both have had that score.
Yes.
And let's see, what else did Steven have? He had a Superman House High.
That was also Rocco's, I believe.
That was Rocco, yeah. He put in, oh, you know what? His Gradius 3 score was rescinded. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the unfortunate miscommunication.
Unfortunately, we had two scores. One was his and the other was Jamie Tibbetts.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of confusion in the settings, but that's been all cleared up now.
Yeah, I made notes on Orcade, so now that everyone's clear, we're basically going back to the point where we know people weren't submitting scores on the beginner mode. But yeah, that's, you know, I'll own that we weren't clear on that as referees, so now we know for the future.
Yes.
So, let's see, what else did Steven Lucas put up? Let me check this out real quick.
While you're looking that up, I will point out one of our most recent world record, which was set yesterday by you, Pete.
Yeah.
Just an amazing watching you play Russian Attack. Congratulations for that. You put up a new score of 586,980 points.
Yep.
How do you kill that many people with one knife?
Yep. The knife has to say leeching on the side of it. No, there's a fair amount of point pressing going on in there, but the knife gets a lot of use, I will say. It's about as used as Rambo's. So.
More so,
yeah.
I would say.
Yep.
Just really impressive, and... As Gamer of the Year, it's great to see you coming out of the gate full charge ahead and
for sure
taking down some of these great scores. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Rocco had that one for a while.
He had the house high.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Mike O'Neill had it from a Fun Spot tournament that was in 2013, and that was the score I was trying to go after.
Yeah.
So.
But everybody had jumped on playing Russian Attack recently, and just great to see you get that and accomplish it. I knew you were going to. I was telling you.
Yeah, you said, oh, you're going to have that in a week. You always give me more credit, I think, than you know, like, you underestimate the game or overestimate me, one or the other.
It's, you have some pretty laser focus.
Yeah.
And there's, like, there's some players here, they'll have their sights set on something and they walk away after a while. But, like, you've consistently, you're working on this, and you don't stop till you walk away with the title. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's awesome. That I can't wait to see what you do next. Do you have any stuff that you're scoping up on? And
yeah, I keep a list in my back pocket of what I'm thinking about.
Top three.
Top three I'm thinking about are Ghouls and Ghosts, which is a Martin Bedard score. So I'm sure that's going to be hard to beat if I try to go after that one.
You'll have it in a week.
See? Doing it again. The other one is another one that I'm considering is Dragon Spirit.
Excellent game.
Which is a change of pace for me. Like, I'm not normally about the vertical shoot 'em ups, but I think I need to break my mold of not being successful with those. I'm really not good at almost any vertical shmup I get into because for some reason or other, like, I don't want to do the hardcore, like I have to plan my path and do the chaining thing like Dodonpachi Daiojo, or I just don't in my mind align things vertically as well that I do horizontally, so it's harder for me to play them, and I know this. I know it's a weakness as a player that I have. So we'll see. Maybe I'll try to go for it.
Dragon Spirit, definitely a super fun game, super hard.
It's great, great music, great graphics, great gameplay. Like, everything's great about the game. I wish I was better at it. Like, I mean, if anyone's listening that hasn't played Dragon Spirit, I strongly recommend it if you want to play a good vertical shoot 'em up. It's like what Xevious should have been. Well, not should have been, but it was Xevious to the next level. It's like the bombing aspect of Xevious, but better music, better graphics, everything else. Fantasy environment.
Better music than Xevious?
That's not music. Okay, let's go back to Steve and Lucas.
You had your third game too.
Oh, that's right. Game three. I was thinking either Final Fight or everyone's telling me I should go after Gradius 3, but I want to talk about that a little bit more later in the later part of this broadcast
Okay.
about that. But I yeah, it's probably between those three.
Cool.
Yeah. Or maybe just totally something different. I don't know. We'll see. Whatever I like playing is what I go after, because once I stop having fun with it, I have a hard time doing that laser focus, like you said. And then
Sure.
if I can't be focused on it, then my motivation's going to drop.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Steven Lucas, aka Crime Fighter. Oh, that's right. His other score, he put House High Up in Sub Rock 3D.
Yes.
And then he. Did I already say Spider-Man?
No.
Oh, okay. Spider-Man, he did a new world record. He had the world record before, but he upped it by like three or four times. So he really improved his world record on it.
It's awesome.
And he recorded all of his gameplay, so we can put those on YouTube later. But he recorded almost everything he did over the weekend, or the time he was here.
Excellent.
So yeah, those were his main scores. Blood Brothers, Spider-Man, Superman, Sub Rock 3D were his main ones.
Right. Very cool.
Yep.
Congratulations to him for some awesome scores.
For sure. And then shortly after that, this was the 14th now, Jamie Tibbetts upped his world record in Airbuster.
Yes.
He went for a higher score and his one credit clear. I'm not sure if he got the no miss, the no death run,
Yeah.
but he did increase his score, and I know he put that run on his YouTube channel, so
Very cool.
it'll be up there for people to see.
Very deserving that he got that Kane Co. Airbuster's glove,
Quest for the glove.
the quest for the glove. He had messaged me that he got his boxed Genesis copy of the game
Is
now,
it
so.
the same name, or is it called something different in Genesis? Is it?
No, it's Airbuster.
Oh, it's Airbuster. Okay, cool. But yeah, congrats to Jamie. Always a master of shmups. Let's see. Next we have a few days after Steven Lucas left town, we had another visitor, Mike Waters, came in for a few days and did also a bunch of scores. I want to say he did also like three or four world records when he was here.
Yeah.
He did set up a new world record on both games in the Wild West, in the Western theme cabinet, Cowboys of Mu Mesa and Sunset Riders. He beat both of those world records, I think maybe in the same night, so
Yeah.
Which is super impressive. I think his Sunset Rider score was previously held by Tibbetts, so he said he was going to try to possibly take that one back and go for the one credit clear on
Very
that.
cool.
And then he beat Slips's Ninja Turtles, Turtles in
Turtles
Time.
in Time,
Yeah.
yeah.
Which is kind of impressive. Slips is really good at that game. And then what else did he put up? Was there one more I'm thinking of?
Think that
Oh,
was.
Crime Fighters. That was it.
Oh,
But
okay.
yeah, his Crime Fighter score, he set, and then Aaron Ozzen beat it at T20.
Yes.
So then he came back and upped it once again. So we'll see if Aaron wants to come back and try to challenge it again.
I know he does. It's just a matter of time before he can come back out, so.
Well, that's awesome. We got a good back and forth then.
Absolutely.
I like seeing that.
For sure.
All right. So next we had James upping his personal best on Qbert. This is on the 16th. What else do we have going on here? We have a new Lethal Enforcers world record. I know Haruza held that before, and then we had a player I'd never seen before came in and just beat it barely, and now we have another player beating it. His name is Tim Ksevi, Csevi. So congrats to him for putting a new world record up on Lethal Enforcer, Enforcers.
I stopped on. I was here on Sunday and met a gentleman by the name of Ron McCarthy. Watched him play Roadrunner. Just he knew that game so well.
Really?
Like, just he did one try on it that I saw, and he took James's house high score.
Wow.
And just great watching him. He knew. It's great to see somebody know a game that well.
Mm-hmm.
He, I believe, was out from Michigan.
Cool.
And he said he had his sights on a couple other games, including, he said he had three games that he could play very well.
Mm-hmm.
Roadrunner, Us Versus Them, which mm-hmm. is another James White game score.
Yeah.
He says he, back in the day, he used to one credit clear it, so next time he was in, he wanted to play that.
Cool.
And then Darius.
Which one?
The first one? The original Darius.
Oh, nice.
So whenever we have that on the floor, he's anxious to come in and put up a score on that.
Very cool.
That Sunday, actually, we also had one of our the guy in from Japan who had talked with. He had been in here twice before,
mm-hmm.
And me and Will had talked with him the second time he was in, and we learned that he was working on opening up an arcade in Japan.
Really?
And was just based on like the concept of the Galloping Ghost Arcade.
That's awesome.
And his doors are now open, and he was showing me pictures, and he spoke very little English, mm-hmm. but we were communicating through Google Translate and
nice.
Showing each other photos of games that, like, he showed that we had the smaller sit-down version of Galaxy Force.
Nice.
And he was very interested in our Galaxy Force, too. Mm-hmm. And just amazing that somebody would come in from Japan and be that passionate about arcade gaming.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's definitely, it was great seeing him again. So,
is he a high scorer, or was he just into
He's just into play and cool. see what we have, and he took a ton of pictures.
Cool.
So,
do you know the name of his place?
I do not.
It's probably in Japanese, right?
He invited us out there. So
nice.
I am looking forward to it when we have our Dark Presence tour. The world tour. Nice. We want to be out. Definitely bring the game there. So
cool. All right, going back to some scores. We had a new King of Fighters 98 world record, Jose Rodriguez. I believe that was a Norbert score before.
Yes.
I want to say. Beat Norbert by a little bit on that. That's the 17th. Let's see, what else? Oh, your venture score. No, that's...
James put up a new venture score
just today, right?
Just earlier today.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
I know he had. He broke 115,000.
Yeah, 115,900. I think was his best today.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's really like, it's got a really long-standing world record that I hope he can challenge. It's like around 300-something thousand.
Yeah.
So maybe at some point James can challenge that.
That game again. I had very happy that we got that game.
Mm-hmm.
I had played a lot on the Atari 2600. I've never seen the arcade version anywhere, mm-hmm. so just having it here is really, really great. And it was a fun project to get up and running.
Mm-hmm.
I heard on some MAME tournament that's coming up, there's a bounty on if you can complete it.
That's cool.
In that vein, I want to throw out my own bounty on that.
Okay.
And if you are able to complete all the dungeons, I believe there's 44 in total.
Oh, man. Okay. So you'd have a world record automatically then at that point.
Well, you would have the world record for sure.
Because James is getting 100,000 getting to like 8 levels, right?
He's getting past that. I think he's getting into level 3, so he's passing probably like 12 levels.
12 levels,
I think.
Okay.
He's getting to the fourth.
The fourth board?
I believe so.
Fourth board of levels?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think. It gets really hard. Like,
the enemies are supernatural dodging. Like, you cannot shoot these enemies. Like, I think they're the best AI I've ever seen in a game. They know how to dodge. Like, they just read your inputs, I guess.
They know your... Well, literally, they will move things.
Yeah.
It's... I've seen some abnormally... There's, like, just large jumps for the character that's...
They just reappear.
They don't disappear. It's like they have their normal moving pattern, and then they're like, oh, wait, I can move a little faster. And
they got an adrenaline boost.
They do. Yeah. They do. Like, you can tell when the computer is like, no, that guy can't die yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to figure out what's controlling that, if there's a certain order that you have to kill them in.
There might be an invisible rank system going on. Like if you haven't died in a while, like it just decides the enemies are harder for now.
Possibly
Yeah, like a
that's
shmup.
it might play like that.
Yeah.
I know by the time you get to the third stage, the overworld levels are just they're just brutal.
Oh, before you get into the rooms?
Even before you
Yeah,
get into the
the
rooms.
Cthulhus are like moving at super speed.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Is that what those things are? Those massive things?
They look like Cthulhus to me.
Yeah. They're either
That's what I call them,
octopi
but
or something else. I don't know.
they're
They're awesome.
squidlies, or I don't know what you want to call them. Really.
Let's see. What else do we have? But yeah, so you had a score inventor and then James, like you showed him a secret, then he ousted your score. You're like, James, watch this. Okay, now you're taking my score. Let's see. We can
That's
get into
that
that later.
knowledge.
Yeah,
That's the knowledge
knowledge
of
is
gaming.
power.
It is. It very much is.
Let's see. Monday also when Amasis was here, he put in a bunch of scores. I think there's a bunch of personal bests that he put in for Metal Slug, Spider-Man, and Gradius 3. He's nearing Eddie's score on Gradius, and I
Correct.
just had to double check with him that it wasn't done on the beginner course, but I think he's nearing that score anyway. So,
Cool. I saw him playing Monster Bash.
yeah, he put up a high. James's house high is around 60K, and Maz's did like 21 something. So.
Well, I wonder if that's in preparation for American Horror Scoring, if he thinks that's going to be one of the games.
See, I like that people are speculating.
Absolutely, that's
Yeah.
really cool.
Yeah. And then that almost gets us caught up. Oh, we had Brian Shillow up his personal best on Russian Attack last night. He's at 296K. I want to say that's it. Yeah. Yeah,
Cool.
that's it for scoring as far as all the updates that we can go back to on our scoreboard. It's like
Yeah.
since the 13th. I think we might have missed a couple because the last podcast was on the 5th, but apologies if we forgot your score.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Oh, when Masi was in, we were able to give him his Ace of Atari Week plaque.
That's right. I saw the picture on Facebook. Yeah,
Yes.
very
And
cool.
we have our own plaque on display, so his achievement will always be recognized here.
The Ace of Atari. I saw his comment on our last podcast. He's like, "I'm going to assure that Pete Gores does not repeat as horror scoring champion."
Wow.
That was a pretty strong statement there. So we'll see.
That's bold.
It is
It's
very.
what we like seeing the competition.
Yeah.
Strong competition. Strong
Yeah.
but friendly competition.
Yeah, as long as it's friendly, you know, a score is a score. Well, as long as we're talking about horror scoring, is it okay if we announce the prizes
Sure,
right here?
we can announce
So
the prize.
we're besides being crowned the king or queen of Horror Week, we're going to be doing a cash incentive this time. We're going to have the top three places pay out. So the top prize for the entire tournament is going to be $100 cash. Not in tokens or anything like that. Second place is going to be 50, and third place is going to be 25. So we're going to have a little extra incentive to come out and put up some great scores. So hopefully we can see some more people come out and possibly get some out-of-towners.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's we might also have a few more surprises.
Yep.
We always like to
A curveball?
a little curveball
Yeah.
going on.
Cool.
We'll see. We'll see.
Awesome. So yeah, if you are not if you're new to our podcast, last week we talked about horror scoring. It's a tournament we run every last week of October, but basically it's 13 horror themed games. This is gonna be the second or third one we're running.
This is our second.
Second? Okay.
I believe I couldn't remember. I know have done a tournament around there where we had
Horror themed game.
horror themed games, but it wasn't American Horror Scoring, and I think it might have been more just part of something else.
Okay. So yeah, basically it's 13 horror themed games. Right now we've narrowed the selection down. We're just fine-tuning everything, making sure we know how to track scores on it and getting everything set up so we can hand a nice list to everyone on the first day of the tournament, which is Monday the 26th. The tournament runs all week and ends at the close of business Saturday the
It's
31st on Halloween.
Halloween night.
Yep. So it should be very good. Should be a lot of fun.
Definitely gonna looking to have Halloween here be a lot of fun. We probably are gonna do, as we've said, we're doing some event. I haven't made the official post yet, but definitely expect something cool going on here for Halloween.
Yeah, expect streaming. We're going to be doing more streaming during the tournament. We've been streaming more actually this whole week since we've got the wireless stream working. I think we've streamed every day so far.
Yeah. Huge shout outs to you for getting that all set up
Oh yeah.
and running nice. It's we definitely want to keep expanding on it, and we want to do more direct feed streams, and just we're working on a lot of things all at once, so everybody can expect a lot more coming soon.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that our players here are so outstanding that we need to show them to the world, and I think the streaming is the best way to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like, I want to show off the talents that we have here, because YouTube, you know, it doesn't capture the spirit of what's happening in the moment. You know, you don't necessarily get, you know, it's not timely. It's like it's pre-recorded. So I think the Twitch stream is going to be the way for us of the future. We're going to do a lot more of it, and hopefully the tournament will see a lot more of that coverage as well.
Absolutely. Like yesterday, we had just put Venture on the floor yesterday, and James came right in and started streaming it, and it's like, what a great way to see a new game here, and even like learn it a little bit, so you have a little bit of an idea of how to play it by the time you get here.
Yeah, when you get in, you can use James's mistakes to your advantage. All right, so we have a bunch of Facebook comments that we can go up on, or do you, is there any other topics you want to cover first? Or?
I guess the only other thing is can go over, we also added today, we added Venture to the arcade floor yesterday, and today we finally added Cosmic Cruiser to the arcade floor.
Great looking cabinet.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
It's was a game, a Brian Cullen game, which was the main reason we got it, was it was a game that he created. We were trying to get it for our Developers Day, where Brian was in. And we picked it up from Mike Beal.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he sold me my Contra board. Nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great guy. Yeah. Great guy. It had some issues. It was supposedly missing the mirror inside of it. But,
that reflects the little guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That cabinet, I'm going to be working on a new video showing off that cabinet, because that is the most amazingly...
It's elaborate.
The design is just incredible on it.
Yeah.
So we really want to show that off. And look for a video on that. But that's on the arcade floor now.
Yeah. Seth was telling me, like, some people were saying, like, in MAME, like, the sprite doesn't show up because the part that's reflected is physically there. Like, it's not programmed into the machine, like, into the program code.
There is, essentially, in the cabinet, there is a little plastic ship.
Like, figure.
That has Captain Cruiser in it, and it spins around, and you actually see it in the playfield off this mirror, and there's no sprite for it. The tractor beam that comes out, like there's this blue
the
tractor
effect,
beam, is in the game, but the actual ship itself isn't.
Nice.
So that's one you'll never see it. Like, you'll never get the real experience. And
playing on an emulator, it's not the same. Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah.
It's just not. So we are very happy to... There's very few out there. I think there's only one other arcade that has it, according to Orcade. So very happy to have that. I know Brian. I had spoken with Brian earlier today, and I believe he's coming in early next week. So can't wait for him to see it and have him play it again.
That's awesome, right, when they get to see their own
creation.
You know, creation in the wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Any other things?
Let's get on to these questions.
Get on to the Facebook questions? All right. All right. Tim Foley is asking, are there any high scores that you have a hard time believing are attainable, or world records that might have a cloudy past when it comes to verification?
It's a really good question. That there definitely are. There's there's a lot of twin, like there was Twin Galaxy scores from back in the day that we've heard
multiple times from multiple people.
Multiple times from multiple people that are just
erroneous.
Like, this wasn't that's one of the good things with Orcade. There's a little bit of freedom as to, like, we want to acknowledge this score, but we can't acknowledge this score because, like, if you look on some of the Capcom fighting games,
Alien vs. Predator, the top score on the Twin Galaxy scoreboard has a 7 as a last digit. That means 7 continues were used.
Right.
That score is obviously not valid.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of there's a bunch of that with Capcom games in general.
Yeah.
And it's just such an obvious tell, why those get through. Just the adjudication is it's just missed or whatever. They didn't know that's why that digit is a seven and not a zero. And
Right.
some other standout ones, I've heard Kung Fu Master.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I've heard there's, I believe, Robotron is one that score isn't a possible score. Like
Really?
the last digit is not right.
Okay.
Yeah, there's just so many.
I know, like, I mean, it's a system based around humans entering information into a scoreboard, so humans can make mistakes, so that's how this happens.
For sure.
Just when there's no way to correct the mistakes, is there, that's when the problem arises.
Well, it's something, and my big, what I want for high scoring, I for it to hit that next level, I think so many elements of it have to be really re-examined. Like the foundation that was started with Walter Day, like it has been amazing, but it's becoming, there's so many people putting in scores, and to get that true, what is the world record? I think a lot more information needs to be brought up, and I think a lot more, like, unfortunately, we might have to reset some scores
Right.
to get to a true number.
Yeah. It's a big, huge debate going on now in classic gaming, because, like, a lot of the scores in the past, there exists no proof. We're just taking a referee's word for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's, like, with all the new players, like, there's new elements that go into it. It's hard to say, but like I know Road Blasters was one that was always questioned. There's just a plethora of them.
Yeah, there's someone commented, Marco, I believe is his name, saying that the Centipede score, you know, he had doubted, because he said, you know, he watched Duke play a 45-minute game of Centipede, you know, and got 700K, and he's like, the world record's 16 million. How is that even possible? But that
Right.
type of score is actually possible. You have people with enough skill to build up enough guys in a, you know, in a marathon game where they can let guys die and take bathroom breaks and sleep if they need to.
Right.
Those kind of scores are actually possible, and some of those scores, while they look unbelievable on paper, that's why we can't just dismiss scores, because those we still see some of those performances from time to time.
For sure.
Yeah.
Again, we bring it up often. Matt Rocco,
Yeah.
was playing all the way through Rolling Thunder. And it was like the score was so drastically different. And we were able to verify it. It's like, no, that was a legitimate playthrough. He's playing very, the guy that had the record was playing very differently.
Yeah, he wasn't playing for progress, he was playing for points. He
Right.
wasn't trying to beat the game, he was standing in the areas which netted him the most points.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's even with NARC. Like, I've had people be like, how'd you get that NARC score? And
Like, nudge you, like, show me something.
yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm more than happy to. I can back it up. Like, it's Street Fighter was another one.
Yeah. I forgot, someone questioned that score.
Ken Williams
Yeah.
questioned a score that was standing on Street Fighter, and he's like, oh, look at this math. This doesn't equate out to a possible score.
Right. But we had that score
And
beaten several times over now.
oh yeah.
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 So, I mean, I guess you want to respect the scores of the past, but you don't want to dismiss them without really investigating hard, you know?
Well, and that's
Yeah.
the thing. It turns into a very big process of we need to get more information on some of these scores, like the stuff that is in question. Like, we gotta find the player that did the score.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing about Orcade is since it's relatively new and we really take our time and get email addresses and contact info for the players, and especially now, it's like you can just come up to the counter and ask for a camera if you're gonna do a
Sure,
score.
and that's the thing. Like, if you're gonna set a world record, you're gonna have a video of it. I mean, every teenager has a cell phone that they can take video with, you know.
Right.
It's there's no reason to not have video of your performance now.
Right, absolutely.
So, like, that's, I don't know, that just goes into, like, a lot of things, like score performance just being all public, you know. That's a whole nother can of worms we got into once, but now that people can record it, there should be no, I mean, the burden of proof is on the person submitting the score now.
Right.
Not on, you know, an adjudicator.
Absolutely.
There was something else I was going to say on that. What were we talking about before on that? There was how you wanted to have more information.
Oh, that was on like leeching, I
Oh, that's
believe.
right, yeah. Yeah, playing the game differently, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, oh, Tim Foley adds, and maybe a plug for his Outrun he's trying to sell. So, if you're looking to buy an Outrun cabinet, talk
Tim
to Tim Foley.
Foley.
He's your guy. Outrun's a good game, though.
Great game.
Sega. Sega.
Martin Bedard has the score on that, I believe.
Yeah, he said it here when he was in town
Yes.
last time. All right. John Matthias asks, if you each had only to own five cabinets, what would they be?
I don't know.
Narc, I can tell you for one.
Narc.
Ninja Gaiden.
You know,
Operation Wolf.
I don't know. I there's too many. There's too many.
I would
Like
have a JAMA cabinet that I could switch the boards out whenever I want. That's kind of what I'm doing now. I mean, I'm waiting for my Konami adapter, but I'm going to play Russian Attack, and when I'm done with that, I'm going to put in Tekken. When I'm done with that, I'm going to put in Contra. I only need one cabinet if it's JAMA.
right, like right.
But yeah, I mean, I guess those five boards would be. I don't know what they'd be.
I don't know if for me, I'm past that point. I don't know if I can answer it anymore. It's
You have them all at your disposal here at the arcade. Yeah.
right. It's they all mean so much. So I don't know. Like, how could you not have Primal Rage 2?
Right.
Or like Brian Colon's RC Squared, or like there's so many that.
There's stuff that's like essential now, like because
Yeah.
you can play it and you know you could just walk into the arcade and play it when you want, but if the arcade wasn't here, you have to just think about that. If this arcade wasn't here.
If for me, my first three games were NARC,
MK.
Mortal Kombat 1, and Mortal Kombat 2.
Okay. All right.
I'll leave it at that.
My
That's.
first game was an Ultimate MK3. Had it in my garage for years. My second game I had was Primal Rage. And then I got a sit down candy cab, and now I've got a bunch of boards to put in it, such as Tekken Tag Tournament, Tekken 3, Russian Attack. I have a board for Contra. So I got a lot of boards to play with now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the
Where'd you
that's my
get
answer.
your candy cab from?
I got it from Chris at Windy City or Windy Gaming. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Windy Gaming. He does importing of candy cabinets. So if you're looking for a candy cabinet in the Chicago area or anywhere, he can set you up. He can arrange shipping to your area. But
That's
yeah,
awesome.
definitely hit up Chris on Facebook on Windy Gaming on Facebook.
Very cool. He always comes out to our swap meets too. That's
Yep,
it.
very
So
cool guy.
huge shout outs to him.
Yep. How do we decide the layout of the ghost?
Now,
Now it's space-based,
it's
right?
space-based.
Yeah.
It's
Where can we fit this cabinet?
yeah. Originally, the arcade, it's kind of broken down into sections.
It seems it's like developer and then genre is
There's
what it.
developer genre, and then there's like the yeah, there's some occasional like the cowboy section, or there was the building climbing section that had Rampage and Crazy Climber and
The climber
the
section,
climber
yeah.
section.
There's a whole like vampire section now too. We got versus
Yeah.
Castlevania, Haunted Castle. What else is there? There's a couple more there. Oh no, that's all in the area.
Yeah.
But yeah, then there. Oh yeah, the Blood Brothers, Wild West
The
section,
cowboy section.
cowboy section with Gunsmoke, Moon Mesa.
There's the Mortal Kombat section. There's the Street Fighter section.
Yeah.
There's the pinball section. There's the shmups area,
Yeah.
the drivers. The layout is going to change drastically pretty soon. There's a few things that just even like not having certain games grouped together
I can tell it
is.
bothers you.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I cannot wait. Like Brian Colon's games, I want those all in line. I want all the Jeff Lee games together. And it's just difficult with our current space constrictions, but we'll be fixing that soon enough. So, but that has always been such a important thing, is to have a good flow to it, and a little bit of nostalgia in one part where the front row of games at one time was most of the stuff that my arcade that I frequented the most it was based on that lineup.
Oh, that's cool. So I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's never exact, but pretty close.
Nice. All right, next question. Jamie Tibbetts asks, new regular segment idea, low-hanging fruit. You want to do this? You want to do this afterwards, or you want to do it right now?
Low-hanging fruit, sure. Okay.
Low-hanging fruit, and what he's talking about there is scores that are within the reach, like house highs or whatever, any score you think is within reach that people just haven't put the time in or haven't really explored the game that would be quote-unquote easy to get in a minimal amount of time. Do you have any ideas off the top of your head?
Honestly, I know there's a lot.
There's a lot of fruit hanging
around?
There's
a lot of fruit hanging around.
A couple of my scores are fruity. I mean, they're kind of low. They're low.
It's like going back through so many of the scores set in, if you see on the scorecard, if you see like a 2011, 2012, there's a lot of those that I know can change hands.
Right.
Fairly easily.
There's some like where like if the person hasn't completed the game, it's like just go for the 1cc and you'll have a world record.
Like Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah.
That's super easy.
Yeah, you were saying
like that score is not a good representation of what the world record should be.
You said the same thing about Narc as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because you said like before your score was like double that.
Honestly, like most of the world records that I have, I feel are like Godzilla, Ultraman, Ninja Gaiden, Narc. There's a lot of room left on all of those.
Yeah. They just don't have the knowledge.
Just the knowledge.
Yeah.
Any of those would be good. Right there.
Yeah. There's a few shmups I was thinking of that weren't really fully explored. I think that Thunder Force AC could
Thunder Force or Rail.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of shmups that haven't been really fully, like if you haven't 1cc to shmup, just go for that.
Yeah.
A lot of, I think, you know, once, you know, Jamie did the Airbuster 1cc, you know, he started looking down the road. He was like, hey, there's some scores here we can go after.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As intimidating as some of the scoring is here at the arcade, like you see so many of the same names and it's like, oh, that score must be impossible. It's no. Like absolutely, there's a lot of room.
Yeah. A couple of mine I'd say go for, like Captain Commando. If anyone can 1cc that game, you can beat my score. I only made it like a little more than halfway through, maybe three quarters through the game.
Yeah,
so that's one I would go for.
Judge Dredd prototype.
Judge Dredd, yeah, I think you got to the third level, right? Or
James got to the third level.
Yeah. So if you can get past the third level, you can have that score.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's got to be a couple more.
There's just like all of the, like a lot of the King of Fighters stuff has been put up once and has
and no one's been challenged.
It's super low.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff. Some of the light gun games.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Bruza was saying Lethal Enforcers wasn't all that far. I didn't know. I thought it was kind of far.
There's players out there. Like I remember when
Henderson,
Josh Henderson came in.
Yeah,
and he's like 1cc-ing like House of the Dead and Carnival, and it's like those are great examples of games that are like once you know where you're supposed to be and you just memorize it, you'll have that score no problem.
Yeah. I think there's just a level of time you have to put into a game. It's like, yeah, you won't be able to come in the first day and take that score, but maybe give it a week or two, and yeah, you can have that world record. Like,
yeah.
It takes time. I mean, it should take time. It's a world record.
It's supposed to.
Yeah, but, you know, it's if you don't want to spend months and months grinding out a score, you know, I mean, we can definitely point you in the right direction, but I wouldn't expect to come in your first day and get a world record.
No.
Unless you're really strong and you play Arm Champs.
But, and even stuff like, I remember Mission Craft.
Yeah.
Last time Matt Walters was in, or a few times ago, he stepped up, and he hadn't played that in forever.
Mm-hmm.
But his skill level had jumped so much.
Yeah.
And he hadn't been playing regularly, but he walked up, and he put up an awesome, awesome first game. And it's like...
See, that's cool. I mean, he's been playing Diojo and other stuff that's much harder, and his skill has improved, so
right.
you'd expect that, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a couple of games to kick the rust off and get mm-hmm. back in there, but and there wasn't a ton of points to for him to still get in that game. It's only a two-loop game, but
right.
as long as that is there, there's room. And it's stuff like Haley's Comet. Like, that's a perfect example.
Oh, right, right.
Of not only did, like, that was a great world record that Rocco set. There's
first
a first world record set here. But the skill of the players here had grown so much that I think three or four of the players had revisited it.
Yeah, and now there's three or four people that are at Rocco's score level. Like, I think Pete Gores, Brian Keita, and Jamie and Rocco were all around the same
Well,
level
Jamie
now.
Took it.
Jamie has it now, yeah.
Put, I think actually everyone exceeded Rocco's score.
His original?
I believe so. I could be okay. wrong. I'd have to double check that. But
yeah.
It was, it just, that's the caliber of player. It had just shot up.
Right.
And, you just have to look for some of the dates, like, on some of the cards.
Yeah, look for 2011. Those are gold.
Yeah.
2012 isn't too bad either. But yeah. Some fighting games, you know, especially you mentioned all the King of Fighters, but yeah, a lot of the fighting games don't have maxed out scores. They haven't been 1cc'd. If you don't complete the fighting game, there's a lot of end bonuses. You can usually crush a score.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's some, like, the ones, the World Heroes, World Heroes 2, all the Samurai Showdowns.
What about,
like,
Double Dragon, Neo Geo Double Dragon? Who has it? Oh, that's Jamie's score. Jamie Tibbetts has that.
I think Phil might have it now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure on that one. I'd have to double check,
right.
But there's definitely room on it.
Right.
Yeah, there's a few fighting games, like Third Strike. There's room on Third Strike.
There is, yeah.
There's a little bit of room left on, like, Garo and The Last Blades, but not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's...
It's there for the take,
it's
for the
not,
picking.
That, those aren't easy ones, for
right.
sure.
That stuff, if you put in some time, you'll get them. But yeah, I think I like the idea, Jamie's idea of low hanging fruit.
Should
segment.
We pick one game that everybody should kind of focus on?
Make it the game of the week, the low hanging fruit of the week.
Low hanging fruit of the week. Like, if we'll give $50 to whoever can
be the first to top the old score.
Yeah.
Be the first or the highest.
Highest
by the end of the week.
By the end of the week.
That's a good idea. All right, look for a Facebook post on that. We'll decide a game every week. It's the low-hanging fruit of the week. And if one whoever has the highest score on that game at the end of the week gets the bonus.
That'd be awesome. All
right, cool. All right, next question. Good idea by Jamie, though. Steven Lucas brings up Gradius 3, the difficulty select issue.
Yes.
Which we kind of already addressed. But it being in Japanese, no one really knew what they were getting into. So now that we've placed it in the rule set on Orcade, now it should be there's no confusion, but before that was on us. Me as a referee, I take responsibility as not following up on players, making sure they were on the right track.
Left side is the full game, right side is the
beginner mode.
So.
Three stage only, lower rank, you keep power ups after you die, like you just go down one bar. So that's a huge thing. The hardest part of any Gradius game is recovering once you die, and that makes it much easier.
Yeah.
So he brings that up. Also, he asks expansion plans / status as of now. Any updates?
Construction is starting very soon. We are redoing our tournament area. We were moving stuff today.
Oh, nice.
So it is happening very soon. The contractors were here today just doing some layout stuff, so very soon.
Cool. Dan Icavelli asks on plans for adding a second floor. Is that in the future?
Currently, we are going to see where we get with this extra space. This should literally double the size of the arcade.
We're probably not going to fill that very quickly, are we?
We have 120 or so games. We have some big games, but
big footprint games, not big like AAA games. You mean
right? Big footprint games.
Yeah,
but it'll be a balance. Like, that option is still there. We'll see. We'll see. It's possible. It's not the necessity right now, but we're going to start just keep going it and keep upgrading as we need it.
Cool. Jerry Colonna asks if Galloping Ghost has any travel plans this year. And I'm not sure if he means by Team GGA traveling to tournaments or if we're going out to any other shows or...
I believe he means if we're going out to any other shows. We do have... see, currently I think we have three lined up. We have a Halloween event that we're doing very soon.
Yes.
I believe next week.
When Halloween is, yeah.
It's Red Moon.
Okay.
They're doing a big Halloween event. I forget where it is, but we'll be taking about 10 to 12 arcade games there for their mini arcade that they're doing, and a big Halloween costume bash, and food and music, and
hopefully no beer on the cabinets.
Nope. That is
a must
yeah. That there is no beverages by the machines while they're not in our building
area.
Then we also have I believe we are going to be at the Planetarium in November.
Oh, that's right, you mentioned that before. Yeah,
taking six games there. And then in December, we are going out to the New Jersey Gamer Con. Still trying to hammer down what all we're bringing.
The logistics of that is going to be rough.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they've actually invited us as the production side. So we will be showing off Dark Presence there and letting people play that. Not sure what, if any, if we're going to be able to bring other arcade games, but we'll have to see. It's the first time the show is running. You can check it out at njgamercon.com. And we're looking to go there and have a great time. It's the first show, so we really want it to do well for them, and we hope people will check it out.
Cool.
Maybe Richie Knuckles will be there or something.
Yeah, he's local for there. You should hopefully see him there.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
Cool. Alex Segundo asks, next Shang Tsung's Fight Night, any updates? that's still dependent on the construction, isn't it?
It is dependent on the construction. I had talked with Daniel Piscina this week. He stopped by in the morning. We were thinking maybe in December. We're still working on it, though.
Same thing with the swap meet, right? We can't put that together until the construction's kind of under control.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's we got to make sure that we have enough space. Like that last one was so big.
It was so cramped. Yeah.
Yeah, it was tight.
I mean, that's good. A lot of people came out. We don't want to discourage that, but we just want it to be more comfortable for everyone.
Absolutely, absolutely. So keep an eye out for Shang Tsung's Fight Night dates and. We'll post them as soon as we can.
Cool. DJ Tatsujin, a.k.a. Aaron Austin's, asks, can you talk about the new release like Sky Cursor and whether or not they have a place among classics? I'm not familiar with that game.
Sky Cursor, they had it at Midwest Gaming Classic.
It's like a retro-style game, right?
It is a retro-style game. I believe it just showed up at the Game Grid out in Utah, run by Adam Pratt, who runs the Arcade Heroes website. Sky Cursor, I got a chance to talk with the guys working on it, and I know a lot of our Shmups players were over there playing it. And it's a really cool game. I was actually talking with one of the guys that works on it earlier today.
Oh, cool, okay.
As to, where's ours?
We need a dedicated cab, yeah.
We do. What a cool game.
Yeah.
I think it does have a place here at the arcade. Shmups
will always have a place.
Shmups will always have a place.
That's how I feel, at least.
You can definitely see that the guys working on it have a passion for classic gaming, and they're using classic hardware, like it's a JAMA board. Like, it's, how cool is that? Like, mm-hmm. They're just trying to get something that's back into the feel of how games used to be, where a sit-down driver game, and it's not a light gun game, and it's not this giant environmental thing that you could never, that takes up this huge amount of space.
Or the Golden Tees.
Or the Golden Tees.
That's like those are the three like that you see everywhere now. So
right, and yeah. It's Silver Strike. It's mm-hmm. It's I think such exactly what the arcade industry needs. And talking with them, I hope they really push the game well, because I think people were really digging it, and I think it's with all these new arcades opening, I think new games will help revitalize the arcade industry on a different level. Very much what we're trying to do with Dark Presence. Like, we don't want to do a console release of it right away, just because the arcade, you can see it. It's trying to come back.
Totally,
and
yeah.
And it needs companies that are willing to do very unique, dedicated projects that are within the same vein as what people want are already getting in arcades. Like,
or what they got in the past. So exactly. What they remember.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, huge shout-out to them. We definitely are looking into getting Sky Cursors, so we'll see where
that
goes.
I love that shmups are coming back. Like, the whole, like,
did they ever go anywhere?
Not really. They just got more obscure.
Yeah.
Prettier graphics. But they never really went anywhere.
No.
I just got into them, so they were invisible to me before.
It's true with all, like, yeah. Most of the genre. Well, yeah. With the fighting and shmups, I would say, more so than anything.
Yeah, they've always been there.
Driving and light gun. Like, it's just the platformers and some of the, like, the classic smaller games that, like, you don't see stuff like that.
Right. All right, next question. Norbert asks.
Shout-outs to Norbert.
Yeah, shout-outs to Norbert. any plans on bringing back the old version of Shang Tsung's Fight Night when it was every fighting game and not just the Mortal Kombats?
those were so much fun, but it's... I honestly think we almost need a different event.
Yeah.
There's something about Shang Tsung's Fight Night. For me, it is so much about getting the actors here at this point. It's really cool to have the tournament in Mortal Kombat, but it's so separate. Like, the people, there's
two different crowds. Like, there's the tournament players, and then there's the people here for the actors, I think.
Absolutely.
I mean, some people, it overlaps, but not many, I think, is the problem.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
It's the tournament players, they want to get in and get playing. Like, I remember that first one, it was from open to close, just tournaments nonstop, and, like, Samurai Showdown had, like, six people playing it.
Yep.
It was single elimination, just like, here, you're the winner of Samurai Showdown, and now let's go play King of Fighters.
Yeah.
And that was really awesome. It was very difficult, though.
It's grueling.
It really
game
is.
Game to game to
it's
game,
just
yeah.
Grinding out, doing tournaments mm-hmm. day in and day out for the entire day. But it was a lot of fun. Maybe.
You know, we should just do, like, a fighting game night. Like, games on the arcade floor, just fighting games. Like, if you want to play those against other people, you just show up on this night and you'll have someone to play against, is what we should probably do.
That would be awesome if it can be... There's so many... It's hard to get them coming regularly, though.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Because people are like, oh, you have Super Turbo. I want to play against...
I'm really good. Who's here that's really good at Super Turbo?
They're not here right now, sorry.
Right.
You know, but if they could all show up at the same time, we could probably arrange some type of ranking system through Orcade to track that.
For sure. We had talked with David Hernley several times about doing that, and that would be amazing, but... It's a scheduling nightmare.
It is.
It's almost like its own league of gaming.
Yep.
So
I don't know. It seems like it would be logistically hard to do the whole big tournament thing again, but it's something we can always look at.
For sure.
Maybe once we have more space, it'll be easier.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But to answer Norman's question, maybe in the future. It's just so hard with so many events. Like, we don't even get to run our annual events because there's so many. But maybe. I would like it.
Cool. Ryan Rardin, R-A-R-D-I-N, sorry if I misspelled that or mispronounced that. He asks if games with multiple playable characters should have different scoring tracks, like in Final Fight, different scores for Hagger, Cody, and Guy, since they each have different potential. I kind of like the idea.
That's a really good concept. The a problem with that, it depends on what you want out of scoring.
Sure, yeah.
If you want a single, what's the world record for this game? It is this.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad thing to have
these other tracks,
as long as it's just like games like, but then you're gonna run into Street Fighter where
it's 30 characters,
yeah. Absolutely,
and that's a lot harder to track. But I like, here's what I like about this scenario. I like Hagger, but he can't score nearly as much as Guy or Cody. But if I get further in a game than someone else with one of those characters, I want to be recognized for that. So, you know, let's just say I'm able to one credit clear the game, but someone else who can play Guy doesn't one credit clear it, but has a score higher than me. That would feel wrong to me.
But the reasoning behind, like, Hagar does more damage.
Right.
And he plays differently.
Totally. Yeah.
In a sense, you're getting to play almost how you want to play.
Exactly, yeah. I want to play the guy that does the most damage. That's me in every game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, again, when it comes down to, it's what are you getting out of that number? Like, the scoring number. Is it something that a lesser score should be recognized as, this is the best under these conditions?
Right, right. But on the flip side, then you're saying the only character viable for scoring, you have to pick Guy.
In a sense.
Yeah.
And is that right?
No, it's not necessarily right. It just makes it so I can't play the character I want to play. But that's just the way most games are. Like, if you want to do good in Ghouls and Ghosts, you can't pick the flame. You have to pick the knife, you know?
Right.
It makes it so you have to do certain choices.
Absolutely.
That's what it comes down to. Like, what do you find more fun? Beating the game with the character you want or having the score on the name on the card?
Right.
You got to choose.
It's... Yeah. And, again, it's...
I mean, I don't think anyone likes to use the flame in Ghouls and Ghosts, but...
No, I don't think so.
I don't know why anyone would try to beat it with just that, but that'd be funny.
It's... But yeah, it is along those lines. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that.
Yeah,
like,
it's tough. It can be debated either way.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong answer. That's up to the scoring house in
right.
itself. Like, if that's something that they would want explored, they could tell
the operators
to the judges, hey, accept scores separately for this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you acknowledge them, but they're
not
world
records. Yeah, so that's what Gamist Arcadia, they used to do that for a lot of games. Like, they had, I saw their, they still have archives of their scores up, and you can see Final Fight, you can see the top score for all Guy players, the top score for all Cody, the top score for all Haggers, and you can see the top score for each one with and without auto fire. So there was a total of 6 different scores, you know, listed.
Yeah.
So under these conditions, this is the best score. You know, and the auto fire thing is this one thing I wanted to talk about, but we'll probably end up doing that later because that's kind of a debate in itself.
Okay.
But yeah, like, under these conditions, Hagger is at the top of his game, got this. So. But yeah, I like that Arcadia tracked that, so it's good information to have, but, you know, the Hagger score was always less than the Guy score, so you have to pick Guy if you want to score well.
Well, with, I don't remember, on our Final Fight, did they actually finish the game? I don't believe they did.
Brian Shilo? He has a score. No, he didn't finish the game. He got to the last level, like, before the last, like, final stretch, so he's not 1C seeing the game yet.
Yeah.
So there's still room.
All right.
We'll see. Yeah. And I think that's it of the Facebook questions. Let me double check.
Okay. Again, we appreciate everybody putting in their questions. We definitely love getting you guys all the info and answers to stuff that you're interested in hearing about. So this really helps us gauge what everybody is interested in, and helps us make the arcade bigger and better. So
yep, that was it. That's all the Facebook questions we had.
Cool.
We had mostly just comments on the YouTube end of it, and if you haven't heard, we're also we are finally on iTunes. So when we get our RSS feed updated with this podcast, you'll be able to find this on iTunes as well. But we always go to YouTube first, because it's just easier to upload to.
For sure.
Any other things you want to cover? Or?
I think that's about it. Should have probably one or two more games going up next week, so everybody stay tuned for that. Some cool rare stuff. One thing I know that will be the only arcade on Orcade to have it, cool. So possibly the only arcade in the world with it. But yeah, it's what else? We have...
just more streaming. Yeah, just want to do more yet.
Definitely, there'll be a lot more streaming coming up.
If you want to stream, let me know ahead of time. I've had people contact me on Facebook. You can talk to anyone here, but I can usually have the equipment set out and ready at the game you're looking to stream. Like Duke was in last week, and he's like, "Pete, I want to stream Centipede," and I had the laptop out there, and everything was ready to go. I had to leave for the day, but everything was ready. So John Ruzza just had to click, broadcast, and that was it. So if you let us know ahead of time, we can get everything set up. You know, when it's busy, if you come in and say, "Hey, I want to stream," it's not the easiest thing to, get everything out there. But if we can have everything pre-set up while it's slow, that makes it easier on us. So we'd appreciate that.
Cool. Very cool. One other thing. We've, as always, the never-ending battle with game repairs. We should mention we're able to get Battlezone back up and Sinistar.
Yep.
And we fixed the audio issue on Flicky.
Oh, really? I didn't know it.
Which my lovely girlfriend Danielle will hopefully come in and play that some more.
Hopefully stream it.
Hopefully. That'd be cool. Yes, that would be awesome.
Yep. She's incredible at that game.
She is.
Yeah.
She is.
I mean, just one of those, like we talked about it before, like it's just cool to watch,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those games I like to watch.
It's definitely fast. She definitely knows it. Mm-hmm. It's been... that's back working. What else?
Seth has just been... The sound's still working on Donkey Kong again.
Yes, the sound was out on Donkey Kong. That is back up.
Mm-hmm.
The monitors have been adjusted and fixed on both Rampage and Rampage World Tour. There's a few other monitor adjustments that we were doing. But... yeah, huge thanks to Seth, as always, for all his hard work and making sure everything's running great on the floor.
Yeah, he's always looking at our Facebook, too, so if you have an issue, if you don't mention it to us when you're here, if you forget, then you can message Seth on Facebook or post in the Facebook group, and Seth will see it. He'll jump right on it.
Private message us is probably the best way.
Yeah, that way make sure we see it.
Cool. But I guess that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we thanks everyone for listening. This is Doc Mack with Pete Hahn, and we hope you enjoy this podcast, and we hope to see you around the arcade soon.
Yep. See you later, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.